If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. This is The Promised Land with me, Scott Saunders, talking all things Manchester United. We are in the September international break and football just seems to have quietened down a little bit. This international break always comes a little bit too early in the season, doesn't it? But United have lost two of their first three Premier League matches of this season. So maybe you could argue that it's come at a welcome time where we can just forget about everything, or try to at least put it to the back of your minds and not have Man United ruin another one of your weekends just now. So look, I'm joking there. Obviously, we want to see United really force their way back in and start doing things on the pitch in the right way, but this will take some time. And I wanted to take a little bit of time from my last recording as well before my next one to just detach a little bit, because working in football can get a bit heavy. And look, I'm sure plenty of people would love to do that, but just being surrounded by it all the time and surrounded by like negativity around United moving in the wrong direction, or, you know, I don't think it's as bad as what we saw on the pitch the other day. I think it's important that in times like this to take a step back. And as much as things might not have gone right on the pitch the last time United took to it, this is a job, as I've said on this podcast numerous times, and I'm sure plenty of you have heard from other places as well. This is a time to look at the bigger picture, zoom out a little bit, and look at the fact that United have been failing to succeed for a long, long time now, and it's not just all going to turn around magically in the space of a few weeks. So that's why I wanted to take some time to step away. It's been about a week between recordings, obviously. But, you know, I wanted to do that. And I wanted to also come back with maybe people's frustration or anger out of their systems a little bit, and just look at maybe the longer term picture. So that's what today's episode is about. It's about September, usually around the September international break in each season, the first international break in each season. I think it's pretty common for football clubs to take stock of what they've just done in the recent transfer window and look forward and plan ahead to what we could expect to see, or what we want to see, with regards to squad changes moving forward through to 2025, 2026, or the next summer, or the summers after that. And especially with a new team of people in place, you know, I think that's pretty important. that some time to reflect on what's happened in the transfer window, as they've had some time to do that. And obviously, the good thing about this is, I think when United have approached this point in transfer windows past with different people at the helm, you know, it seems like there is a plan maybe which has come in together, which is working more towards the long term rather than just jumping around to whatever is whatever the shiny object is in football terms at the time. Because look, it's going to take, and I said this on a recent podcast as well, it's going to take three, I think, really good summer transfer windows for United to actually turn their squad around. And what I'll do today is I'll look at who United could potentially be targeting next. I was going to record this on Friday and talk about this, but obviously there's now reports on Monday from the likes of the Manchester Evening News, which suggests the positions that United are looking to strengthen. So I feel like I was maybe going to do that on Friday, but I feel like maybe the time is now better to even talk about this, but also look at the squad in its current state and talk about which players could be phased out. Because I think, as I've said many times before, that is as important as the players you bring in. And United have, throughout this summer transfer window, really made a conscious effort to trim the wage bill and to get players who are underperforming or not specifically needed around the first team out of the first team picture and off to other clubs for money that they can put back in to their back pocket and strengthen their PSR position and that kind of thing. But yeah, that's what today's episode is going to be about. Obviously, we're 5 days or so from United's next game in the Premier League, which is at Southampton. It's the 12:30 dreaded early kickoff, which Jurgen Klopp used to hate. And United are lumped with it this time against Southampton, who are newly promoted. But at the same time, I think down the years, United have not had the greatest of moments down there on the South Coast. They've plucked up a few wins, obviously, but coming back into a game like that, which is potentially tricky, it really is. Maybe for teams who aren't United, maybe it's not as tricky. But, you know, you can't really predict what United are going to do. So that is a game that they very much need to win for the sake of Erik ten Hag. But obviously, it's going to be straight off the back of players going to South America or traveling with their national teams across Europe or whatever, or to different parts of the world. And especially in Manuel Ugarte's case, he's made his return to football for Uruguay over the recent internationals. And there will be players who are playing in the second leg of these international fixtures in the midweek of this week, who will then have to travel back around the world to get ready for a 12:30 match on a Saturday, which, you know, I don't think Erik ten Hag will be making too much of that. But, you know, it's a fair argument to suggest that these aren't ideal straight after international breaks. So let me know what you think about this international break as well in the comments. Get in the comments below. And did you need this? Did you need this break after three matches from Man United already? Or would you have preferred to soldier on and get right into the thick of things and the thick of the Premier League season, even after two defeats to Brighton and Liverpool? Let me know in the comments. And also get in touch with what your opinions are on what I say in this podcast as well. I'll share an image for those of you who are watching on YouTube, which maps out how the squad looks in terms of contract terms and that kind of thing a little bit later on. But let me know who you think should be next in for United and who should be next out over the course of the next few months and transfer windows as well. But yeah, please subscribe to the podcast if you've not done so already on Apple and Spotify, the Promised Land and Manchester United podcast. Please get in touch on there. Please leave a 5-star review if you could as well on any of the platforms that you'll get this on. Tell your friends if they're United fans or if they're not and they like to listen to things about United. Hopefully I can bring some balance to the conversation, because I'll take a little snippet of why I kind of needed a break is because Joshua Zirkzee obviously missed a few chances against Liverpool in the last game. And obviously, especially if you're on social media, it's a complete meltdown that he's not worth the money or whatever. And then he goes and plays for the Netherlands and scores his first international goal and gets an assist. And it's like, oh, wow, Zirkzee, he's amazing. Now he's going to lead the line for United for years. And United are chronically underutilizing him. Or like, honestly, it is so draining. And my advice would be, if you can possibly do it, just get from the toxicity of, you know, all of this reactionary nonsense that pops up based on every single action within a game or every single game that takes place where a player is the greatest in the world or the worst, because it's just, it's always somewhere in between, never too high, never too low. And this kind of thing, it's so draining, it's so boring. And it's important to point out again that this is a big picture. This is going to take a long time for United to turn around, providing everything is done properly and the transfers that they're making now actually come off and work well. Speaking on that game as well, Matthijs de Ligt didn't have a great game for the Netherlands. And there was a clip of him circling about, you know, some poor defending in the lead up to a goal that was scored against this team. And obviously lots of meltdowns. And I just can't talk for this. I just can't deal with it. So I prefer to remove myself from the picture and the conversation. And that is, for me, the best way to operate until you can't really get away from it anymore. And the football is right in the thick of it again. But yeah, please subscribe to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. And please get in touch on YouTube as well. The Promise Under Money Out podcast, as I just said, subscribe to that channel as well. Hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, get in the comments and let me know what you think about anything I've said in this episode. And anything you'd like me to do. I've seen a bunch of your comments from whether that's on Instagram or on X or in the comments on the YouTube show as well, or in the reviews about having a co-host to maybe dabble with here and there. And obviously I hear that and I'll be working on that in the coming weeks. There's just a few things to sort out on the podcast side, first of all, from how it operates and runs and that kind of thing, which I'm working on. But hopefully once those problems are ironed out, then I'll be able to take this podcast to different levels and to, you know, bring you better stuff rather than just me rambling down a camera lens and through a microphone for 45 minutes or whatever it ends up being. But yeah, please follow me as well on social media at @_ScottSaunders on X, TikTok and Instagram. Big thanks to all those of you who followed on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, please do. Would really appreciate all the support on there that I can possibly get. I need to grow that one out and start posting on there. But yes, thanks so much for all your support and for all of your comments over the last few weeks. But let's get into the thick of the show, because what I wanted to do last week and what I'm ended up doing on Monday, which isn't the usual day that I record, but I felt like for me it was a good day to do it, and for based around the reporting that's obviously going on around United today, I thought it was actually a good day to drop this episode. So look, as I just said, this is going to take some time for United to turn the ship around, and obviously there's lots going on around United on the whole, whether that's through the playing squad, whether that's through the levels of performance, whether that's around the head coach or around the stadium as well. Obviously, we've had on Monday morning a new statement from the club and the council around Old Trafford talking about the next steps of a regeneration of Old Trafford. Rob and I spoke about our preferences on how we'd like the new stadium to look and whether there should be a new stadium, whether Old Trafford should be rebuilt. For me, I think that that's seemingly edging towards an entirely new build. And obviously I know it's quite a divisive issue, but I think for United to really move forward, I think the time is probably right to go big, make a statement and do the right thing in the sense of putting United back on the map as one of the biggest clubs in the world with the best facilities. I feel like a brand new stadium, 100,000 seats or whatever it might end up being, would be a hell of a statement. Biggest stadium in England, one of the biggest in Europe, one of the biggest in the world in terms of football stadia as well. And that would be the statement that means that United and the owners of United are here to mean business and to put United back on the map at the top of English football and the top of European football. You can have a stadium that does that, but obviously you need a squad to get there as well. And obviously, as I've just mentioned, it will take a number of transfer windows and not just one for United to be competing at the very top of English football again. I think for me, it's a case of contracts having to, like, especially these big value contracts that United have been given to players over the past few years, like Casemiro, even Marcus Rashford, you could probably think those massive contracts, they're really problematic to shift. And if your players aren't playing at the levels expected of the money that you're paying on those contracts, it's going to be very, very difficult to shift, and you're probably going to be stuck with them. So, look, I'll talk about what could happen next summer in terms of the outgoings, because United obviously tried to shift Casemiro. He's had an absolute stinker against Liverpool, and now we're not sure what's going to happen with him, but it does seem like he's going to be at United for the next few months unless something miraculous happens. But even like some kind of miraculous sale to Turkey or whatever is just not... That was never going to be really a logical thing to do, because United are already short in midfield and they cannot give a player away like Casemiro and not replace him. That's going to be a job for next summer or January or whenever it is. But the contracts like Casemiro's and the contracts like Marcus Rashford's, Rashford has 4 years left on his contract at the moment. He signed it obviously last summer after like one of his probably his best season in English football or in his career. But you need to get the level of performance out of them to justify that wage. Otherwise, you're going to be really stuck trying to, offload those players. Casemiro has 2 years left on his deal as well. And maybe that's 2 years too long. But look, United have to find ways to either shift underperforming players who are earning big wages. And I'm not saying that I want to see Marcus Rashford sold, by the way, but United will get to a point where if Rashford's level of performance doesn't pick up and he justifies the level of his earning, that they will have a decision to make on whether they actually keep him on those wages for the longer term past the duration of his contract. So that's the downside about paying massive wages to big, high-profile players. And United have, particularly Casemiro, I mean, Rob and I flagged at the time that was going through, that was a value deal that was just not good for anyone apart from Casemiro, who, you know, was starting to earn massive amounts of money at 29 years old. And at some point it would turn around and catch United out and bite them on the backside. That decision to sign him obviously was made between Erik ten Hag and John Murta, Richard Arnold, after a 4-0 defeat by Brentford and a 2-1 defeat to Brighton at the start of the season before last. But it was panic. And to undo that panic, you're either going to have to take massive financial hits or see those contracts expire. And I'll talk about Casemiro in a little bit more depth in a second. But that's kind of what I want to say. It is, ultimately, we need to see better results on the pitch for United. But this squad revamp that's happening is not going to be done in just one summer. And I feel like United had a really good start to their squad rebuilding and their squad planning with the players that have arrived so far this year. But they need to work, and they need to do that again next summer and again the next summer after that in order to be able to get to where they feel like they want to as a squad that can compete at the highest level with a manager, really. Obviously, there's still questions about Erik ten Hag as well, with a manager who they know that they're backing. And obviously, with uncertainty over Ten Hag already, then that question is going to be there as well. But it will take some time, and United will eventually get there. I'm very confident that the people that are between the walls at Old Trafford now know what they're doing. They just need some time to see this all come to fruition and to move United forward properly. So that's my thoughts on it. And like, I just want to say, just try and be patient. As bad as it is, and as much as I've preached patience for so long, and it's always been like, in 3 summers time, United will be fixed and that kind of thing. You've been preaching for patience and that, and preaching for patience and preaching for time to see this plan come to fruition with people really in those positions that have not been fit for those positions. But now what we do have is a structure in place that I think you can be confident in. People with good experience in English football who are now installed in high-level positions at United, making good decisions. But all these decisions will take time to play out and take time. Like Lenny Yoro, for example, was signed at 18 years old. He's not going to come in and automatically be the world's best central defender. He's not just not going to be, is he? So you need to give patience and give time, and we'll see where we are. Lots of good decisions should hopefully lead to a good outcome, but don't expect too much too soon. And it's important to know that United are still having to deal with the problems of the past before they can move on. So with that in mind, I think maybe I'll go into this screen now. So if you're watching on YouTube, I'm going to present to you a squad screen of United's current team as it looks. It's from The Athletic, by the way. I think this is they do a lot of things well, but they do some really nice lineup graphics. And I'm going to present that in a second. If you're listening along on Spotify or on Apple, just know that what I'm presenting here is just a squad lineup screen with players in each position, and it states how long their contract has to run on it and whether they've been, how long they're under contract for, whether their contract's expiring soon, if they're a new signing loaned in or loaned out as well. So here we are. Right. So this, if you are watching along on YouTube, this is the bottom of United's team. So like the defensive unit, I'll say. So we've got Andre Onana, 4 years left, Altay Bayindir, 3 years left, and Tom Heaton with 1 year left on his deal. And what I'm going to do here is look at the players that could potentially either be leaving next summer or in the next year or two, and the players that are under threat to start delivering in their positions. Otherwise, United could be forced to maybe selling these players and replacing them. So I think Tom Heaton, obviously, he's at the latter end of his career. He's at United because he's good around the dressing room, and he's essentially filling a homegrown gap within the squad, because you need certain players who've come through the academy, either an academy in England or an academy at your club, to meet squad quotas. Tom Heaton's happy in that position, but he's got 1 year left on his contract. I'm sure that'll be a case-by-case basis each year as to whether he stays on. But I think maybe you can expect at this point that Tom Heaton, maybe in the last year of his deal. Altay Bayindir, I'm not sure. 3 years left on that, but at some point he's probably going to be looking at wanting regular first-team football. So I think if that moment does come, then it should be a relatively small transfer fee that United get, and a relatively small transfer fee United spend on bringing somebody back in to replace him as number two. But I think the big question here is Andre Onana's got 4 years left on his deal and has really not convinced most people at the moment that he is worth being United's number one for the duration of the next 4 years or whatever it is. This is a very much a Erik ten Hag back signing at the time, and as much as his distribution is meant to be good and he was brought in for playing out of the back, the shot stopping ability just leaves a lot to be desired. And even in the match against Liverpool most recently, there were certain shots on goal which ended up going past him that you feel like you could have done better with. So I think Andre Onana really needs to have a strong season this season, unless he could be on the chopping block. I'm just saying that as this is my opinion, obviously. But if United are looking to tighten up holes in their squad and move forward and not give away cheap goals, essentially, Andre Onana could be at risk. So I put maybe Andre Onana in a section of pressure to deliver and otherwise could be end up being sold. And we'll see. Maybe there's not money in the market for a player like that, or maybe there's not a desire in the market for a player like that who, you know, maybe hasn't performed to his best at Old Trafford. But I certainly like his personality. I like how he takes on responsibility. I like a lot of things about Onana, but level of performance obviously just has to go up. It just has to be better. And maybe you could argue that the benefits of him and what he's good at will eventually come out when the team and the tactics start to click, if they start to click at all. So that's an important thing on Andre Onana. We'll see. Let me know on whether you have lost patience with Andre Onana at the moment in the comments on YouTube, or get in touch with me on social media as well. Have you, would you like to see United maybe overturn in that position and identify a new number one long term? Let me know. At right back, Diogo Dalot and Nusayo Mazraoui both have 4 years left on their contracts. I think they're pretty safe to assume that. I think they'll be United's right backs for at least the next season, maybe a couple of years. Dalot has grown under Erik ten Hag, can play both sides, and so can Mazraoui, obviously. Very, very useful. But maybe you could argue that neither of those are tip-top quality at the world level. But maybe Dalot, that's still to come from him. We know Mazraoui's level, obviously. But I think they're both solid options in there at right back. And moving to right centre back, Matthijs de Ligt and Lenny Yoro, both new signings. I talked about this a few weeks ago on the pod, of how I feel like United signed two centre backs throughout the summer and still want another one in Jarrod Branthwaite. I'll talk about this later on in the show. How I think United have addressed their centre back area really, really strongly so far this summer, because I feel like that is a problem that maybe hasn't been addressed properly for a number of years. And I think that that centre-back area really held back what Erik ten Hag wanted to do with his team in his first couple of seasons, because of Rafa Varane's injury record, because of Lucho Martinez's absence. With those two players out, you'd often find yourself having to rely on Harry Maguire and Victor Lindelof, which is a partnership that we've seen for a number of years at United that just hasn't worked, really. Maybe you could argue that they're used to playing together, but we know the highest level of that pairing, and it's not where United should be or need to be. And Johnny Evans as well is similar to Tom Heaton, ticks the homegrown boxes, good for the morale in the dressing room, really good professional to have around, but has 1 year left on his contract and is very much at the end of his career. So I think really you'd expect maybe Johnny Evans to pack it in and wrap up his career towards the end of this year, but has 1 year left on his deal. So Johnny Evans, Victor Lindelof, and Harry Maguire each have 1 year left on their contracts. So in 2025, you could see all three of those players leave on free transfers. We will see. But just circling back to what I said a little bit earlier on, how centre-back has been such a crucial area to revamp for United. The fact that they've wanted three centre-backs just really goes to show how important and how much emphasis they've put on that position, those positions, as needing to be modernized and brought into a high-level Premier League football. And I think De Ligt is obviously a player that needs to prove himself. He's not had the best week or so, really, but I think there's a lot better player in there than most people who are putting him down seem to think there is. And Lenny Yoro is obviously, United took a big hit on him in terms of the transfer fee they paid, because they feel like this kid could be really, really special moving forward. And I think that'll be your right centre-back pairing over the next 5 years, or until maybe Lenny Yoro ends up making noise that he wants to join Real Madrid, if that's still the case for him in his mid-20s. But obviously, I think Harry Maguire has 1 year left on his contract, plus an option for an extension for a further year. But Maguire maybe sits in the cases of...
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. this powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Player who was signed for big money on big wages, who is not at the squad status level that his wage justifies currently. So United will have to make a decision on whether they just let Maguire go for free and say goodbye and maybe take the hit on him, or whether they extend it for another year. But like, as you saw with the likes of David De Gea and Rafa Varane towards the back end of last season, United don't, under this ownership, just don't want to extend contracts for the sake of it. The addressing the wage structure is really important. I think Maguire is on a significant chunk. I believe it was around £190,000 a week when he signed. Obviously, with United's failure to qualify for the Champions League, I'm not exactly sure how that number's affected, because there's usually a 25% reduction if United don't qualify for it. But I could maybe see Johnny Evans, Harry Maguire and Victor Lindelof each leaving at the end of the season on free transfers. Victor Lindelof especially, I think United have missed their chance to sell him, really. He got injured towards the back end of the transfer window. There was some interest, but not enough. And I feel like Victor Lindelof's time will end with United in 2025, and he'll leave on a free transfer. I think United signed him for around 30 million quid in 2017, so maybe that's not as big a hit as the one Maguire would be. But the fact of the matter is, if you give players inflated wages, they're incredibly difficult to sell, because other clubs just don't have the money that Premier League clubs have. And we're even seeing a bit of a slowdown in that sense throughout this summer. But yeah, I think regarding the... And maybe I'll actually fold this in terms of the squad planning for next year, as well as we talk about this with these positions. United have identified, according to the Manchester Evening News, obviously, but I think these are the positions that I'd identified in my own mind before I knew I wanted to do this podcast last week anyway. The positions that United are looking to strengthen: left centre-back. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, how I did not expect the Jarrad Branthwaite interest to go away. And obviously those reports have resurfaced again today. United's interest in Jarrad Branthwaite still remains. Everton have had a shocking start to the season. There's a big threat looming over them about whether they go down or whatever this season. And maybe Jarrad Branthwaite is a little bit more gettable in 2025 than he was this summer, with Everton holding out for 70-odd million quid for him. But I feel like if United go ahead and get Jarrad Branthwaite as the one that they want, Jarrad Branthwaite and Lisandro Martinez as left centre-backs, Matthijs de Ligt and Lenny Yoro as right centre-backs, I feel like that's a four there that you can move forward for the next few years with, and hope that they fulfil, in Yoro's and Branthwaite's cases anyway, fulfil their potential as top level European centre backs who can play in the Champions League. I feel like that is what United have identified Branthwaite for and signed Euro for. They feel like they have the potential to really step up and grow, but the onus will be on United to develop those players into that level of player moving forward. So process on the pitch has got to improve, and performances on the pitch have got to improve for those players to be deemed good enough to play at those levels. So for me, that will be a four left and right centre back that would really compare with most top level teams, I think, providing they all play at their maximum. Obviously, we are talking at a time where United have just been walloped by Liverpool and their defenders have no protection at all. But if all things come together on the pitch, I feel like that is a really healthy in terms of age profiles. You've got two players like De Ligt and Martinez who are mid-20s, Yoro who's around 18, 19, and Branthwaite who's a little bit older, but they definitely have about 10, 15 years each at top level in football to become high-performing, high-level centre-backs. And we'll see how that works out. And then obviously, if you've got that balance there, if United promote their youth properly, you can then underpin the quality of those four players with bleeding in youth players through the academy, if that's the way that it ends up going. So you won't have to buy a defender for 80 million quid every summer or every two summers. So I think that would be an example for me of how Ineos look at things and try and get the squad to a point where it's healthy. And obviously, if those four players are competing for positions, you can have I'm sure De Ligt can play both sides. Branthwaite would be able to play both sides. So any combination of the two could potentially work. But left back is a little bit more of a challenging one because you got Terrell Malacia, who's been out injured for 15 months, and Luke Shaw, who's been injured for about 50% of his career at Man United. These are two players who, the jury's out, it really is. I feel like Luke Shaw especially needs to have a strong season this year, get back on the pitch and start playing regularly, not missing as much time, because we know that Luke Shaw is obviously really talented, but the fact that he's injured so often is such a problem. And it really needs to be United have a decision to make on him. They really do. They have to decide whether Luke Shaw is the one for them moving forward. And obviously, according to these reports, and I think it was even suggested at the start of the summer that United were looking for a new left back who is maybe at the right age, like early 20s, who can be able to come in and take a lot of the time off Luke Shaw. Maybe Malacia was meant to be that, but obviously he's been out injured for over a year now and has 2 years left on his contract. And we don't really know what his level will be, or maybe we do. Maybe we do. Maybe we know that he will never be good enough to start for Man United regularly, even when he was playing. And when he wasn't injured, there was concerns about his defensive ability. But he was a cheap signing, and I think maybe you can't expect a player like Malacia to come in and be that answer long term. But maybe United need to look at that position, and maybe they will look at that position in 2025 and address it. But obviously, I think that the important thing here, no matter what happens with those two, is that Harry Amass gets a chance to develop into a first-team player. And we get to see if Harry Amass is good enough to hang in the Premier League on the regular. And if he is, maybe that spot should be his. Coming through the academy, and I've always promoted youth and have always believed in it. And Harry Amass is one of the next ones to come through that system. So hopefully Harry Amass will prove his worth. Toby Collier, a DM, obviously brought into first team action at the start of this season, played a lot in pre-season, came on against Liverpool for Casemiro. Whether we see him ever be good enough to nail down a regular first team place remains to be seen, but he's in the first team picture at the moment. But United have just signed Manuel Ugarte in this DM position, protecting the defenders as Casemiro's legs have essentially gone. Now, Casemiro is one of United's highest earners and has 2 years left on his contract. I think we all expected maybe at the start of the summer for a bid from Saudi Arabia to come in. It did not. And Casemiro remains at United, and we will see how much regular football he's to get over the course of the next few months after that substitution in the Liverpool game. It's really sad that it's come to this, but I really feel like if United are to stick with Casemiro, they've got to protect him. Erik ten Hag has got to protect him more than his system is currently doing, because Casemiro has been left at sea and was last season as well. There's been suggestions, I think Andy Mitten brought this forward last week, that Casemiro was unhappy with how Erik ten Hag's tactics last season had shown up some of his worst sides. And I feel like that's a completely justified and fair opinion to have of yourself. Because Casemiro, it's important to point out, Casemiro was never the player at Real Madrid that Erik ten Hag is using in his first team at the moment at Man United. He never was. More of an anchor in midfield, obviously got a number of abilities that is beyond just defending. But Casemiro played as essentially the number six in a midfield with Toni Kroos and Luka Modric, who never really veered too far away from him, especially as far away from him as the midfielders do at the moment in this United team. He, in a faster league, more physical league, has been left to cover more space and, you know, to make big decisions in terms of the passes that he makes as well, rather than just short passes to the likes of Kroos and Modric, who have much better passing range than he does. I don't think it's fair on him. But regardless, I think what we are seeing is that Casemiro is not able to play in the system that Ten Hag wants, or that a manager has as adventurous in tactics as Erik ten Hag is. I don't think Casemiro is going to fit that. So I feel like the end of Casemiro's United career probably will come by 2025. That's if United can actually shift him. But maybe we'll see a point where another signing is made, and that central midfield position is thought to be, or reported to be, another position which is on the agenda to potentially replace as well. With Casemiro leaving, United might need a younger profile of player in that position. Maybe the young lad Kone that has been signed recently, who's going to probably train with the United first team in the next few weeks, can evolve into that position to save a bit of money, or maybe United will need to go big in the market again and strengthen there. We will see. But just moving forward into the central midfield position, if you're still with me on audio, on Spotify or Apple, I'm just going to shift this graphic that I'm showing of United squad depth to the attacking line and the central midfield area. Kobbie Mainoo expected to sign a new contract with United maybe over the next few months. Has 3 years left on his deal, but obviously his standing since he last signed a contract has massively, massively improved, and he's very much a fixture in United's first team. But I did say recently that if Kobbie Mainoo is out for any specific amount of time, United do not have a player like Kobbie Mainoo. They do not have a player like him who is able to step in for him, and that will be a problem at some point, because Christian Eriksen, who has 1 year left on his contract and it probably is expected to leave in 2025, is the alternative. But Christian Eriksen does not have, I don't think has the energy or the legs to be able to get around the pitch as well as even Mainoo. Like Mainoo's, I don't think his greatest strength is to cover the space that the manager wants him to cover. But certainly Christian Eriksen is not the right fit for that. And I think that will be a position that United need to bolster. So maybe even, look, we'll see how United go. Maybe there's some academy prospects that can make the jump into the central midfielder next season, but at least one central midfielder will need to be signed, because I would imagine Eriksen and Casemiro are both going to leave in 2025, and Casemiro especially, if United can find a willing buyer to take the wages off their books. Obviously, I don't want to say this name again, but if Erik ten Hag is still here and Frankie de Jong is his name's floating around, I think he'll have a year left on his contract at Barcelona by that point. Sorry, I cannot resist bringing that name up, as much as I'm sure you're probably wanting to tear your hair out as you listen to this. But for me, I think when Ten Hag tried to sign Frankie de Jong in his first summer, they probably knew Kobbie Mainoo was a like-for-like player who could maybe be, as I talked about in the defensive positions, the younger understudy to the senior player. I feel like they're quite comparable, but you still would need, even though Mainoo's developed into the first-team player that he is now, you will need a rotation option for him who's maybe like Kobbie Mainoo. And I feel like their qualities are quite similar. So we'll see what happens there. Now, in terms of the front line, I'll do the centre forward area first. Rasmus Højlund and Joshua Zirkzee, 4 and 5 years left on their contracts respectively. Whether United end up buying another forward who can play in those positions remains to be seen, but I don't think that's a priority at the moment. The priority will be to get both of those players scoring more goals, because they're strikers and they should be scoring goals. So, different profiles of striker, obviously, I think. And I hope that once Højlund's injury, once he's recovered from his injury, we'll be able to see the best of him. I feel like they could potentially play together as well, but both of those players are very much United players for the next few years at the very least. So I think there's no real questions there. Bruno Fernandes has just signed a new contract with the United till 2027. 3 years left on his, and Mason Mount has 4 years left on his deal as well. And obviously the jury's out on him at the moment, and maybe he's under pressure to deliver this season and deliver better than we've seen so far, because he's barely been on the pitch. And if United have injury-prone players, they will be A, difficult to shift, but B, essentially unusable. So what do you do with if you've got a player like that but you can't use them? Do you go and buy another one? How do you manage that? It's a big question for the team to ask themselves. But I think the priority really will be that they get Mason Mount fit and get him playing regularly, because I think we saw in the first few weeks the benefits that he can give to Man United. And I feel like he's maybe underappreciated, but he just has to get on the pitch and show what he can do. Otherwise, United will have to make a decision on him. So maybe I put him in the pressure to deliver category as well. And there's then two players, or one player on each wing for the right and the left, that maybe sit in that pressure to deliver category as well. I'll exclude Jadon Sancho on this. He's going to be joining Chelsea in 2025 on a permanent transfer, unless Chelsea finish 15th or below. So we will see. I would imagine that will be the case where he leaves and joins Chelsea. But of the players that are on that list, Marcus Rashford, Alejandro Garnacho, Amad Diallo and Antony, two of those I think you could see as being regular fixtures in the first team for the next few years. Amad, hopefully he can have a breakout season this year. He has 1 year left on his contract, but I would very much expect that he extends at some point over the next few weeks or months and tries to make that position on the right his own, or is at least one of the rotation. And Alejandro Garnacho has 4 years left on his contract as well. And obviously, I think we're hoping this season that he can make another step forward and put himself in the conversation for among the league's most prolific wingers. He has to. I think he has it in him. And it's time now for him to start showing that he is able to contribute in terms of goals and assists a lot more than he has. So, two players there who are very much shoe-ins for the next season or two, or maybe more. And then the two pressure to deliver players, Antony. I think most people have made their minds up with Antony, but 3 years left on his contract, what do you do with him? Do you send him out on loan to a club in Turkey or whatever? Maybe you can't. I don't know. There was rumored interest from Newcastle the other day. If you're going to get 40 million quid for Antony, I think you take it and you bite the hand off of whoever's offering it. But Antony will have at least 6 months really prove that he can do it at United. He definitely has a lot of improvements to make, but pressure to deliver, otherwise he's going to find himself out at United at some point. I'm sure Anthony falls into that category. But in terms of the work rate he offers, I think there's things to work with there, as rubbish as many people think he is. I think there is something to work with him. But obviously, we will see. That is, it's time to deliver for him now. He's had two seasons, and he's, apart from the first few weeks he joined United, he's barely made an impact at all. So I think that is, it's make or break for Anthony now. And finally, Marcus Rashford. 4 years left on his contract, one of United's highest earners, and very much getting time to prove himself. But it's just not happening for him at the moment. So I'm just, I'll stop sharing my screen. For you, if you're watching on YouTube, you've probably been looking at that screen for about 20 minutes or so. But I'll just finish here on Marcus Rashford. I feel like the time is now for Rashford to start contributing and show that he's more than what he's currently showing. Because we all know he is. But the level of performance just hasn't been there at the moment for over a year now. We saw in the season before last just how good he can be and how prolific he can be. But I feel like confidence, his role in the team, all of this kind of thing, his physical condition, all contributed to that best Marcus Rashford version that we've seen, and maybe contribute to the Marcus Rashford version that we're seeing now. But Rashford has certainly got to work on stepping up his own game. There's a lot of responsibility on United to get him in the right atmosphere and in the right conditions for him to prove that he is still the player that we saw a couple of years ago. Because as I've said numerous times in this episode, if you're earning as much money as the highest earners at United are, and you're not delivering the level of performance that justifies that cost, then at some point, time will catch up with you and the decision will have to be made on whether you are worth sticking by. And I don't like saying that about Marcus Rashford at all, but if United are to turn around and be a team that performs towards the top of the league, they have to create a space and an atmosphere and a club culture where high performance is essential. And if you're not contributing it, then obviously we'll work with you in order to get you back to that point. But if you're not doing it and it's not showing signs of turning around, you saw with the sale of Scott McTominay recently, we're in a football world nowadays where PSR and selling academy products is as lucrative as it's ever been. And it's really sad to say, but I feel like Marcus Rashford really, really, really needs to have a good season this season. Otherwise, United may be forced into having to look for other options for him in order to continue with the rebuild of the squad. And I don't want to see that happen at all. But sometimes you have to make unpopular decisions. And I think the pressure should be on it. The pressure should be on all of those players to start delivering and to start living up to the name of Man United and living up to their potential as well. Because there's a lot of players in there with a lot of potential. And we will see over the next few weeks as well how much of that responsibility is to be put on the coach. Because if Erik ten Hag doesn't turn things around over the next 10 weeks, I'd say maybe up to the November international break, if things don't turn around, I think we could really, really be having a conversation about whether he's the right man to take United forward. We're already there, you know, but I think Dan Ashworth and the likes will want to give Ten Hag a chance to prove himself. But if United are mid-table by November and miles off the top four, maybe they have a decision to make there as well. But yeah, let me know, guys, what you think of all of that. I essentially wanted to break down the squad there and talk about the players I felt were at risk of leaving the club over the next year or so, whether they're in the pressure to deliver category. I had Marcus Rashford, Anthony, Andre Onana, Mason Mount in there, or whether they're in the likely outs, Harry Maguire, Johnny Evans, Victor Lindelof, Tyrell Malacia, Luke Shaw maybe is in the pressure to deliver area, Casemiro, Eriksen and Jadon Sancho as well, all likely out next summer. And then obviously there's four or five positions that they're looking to target to underpin the move forward that they're making. Left back, left centre back, central midfield and left wing as well. I didn't talk about Eberechi Eze, who I just mentioned Marcus Rashford there. Jadon Sancho potentially leaving pressure on Marcus Rashford to deliver. And Eberechi Eze has been linked with a move to United today and has been put on the wanted list of United by the Manchester Evening News. So we will see whether that interest persists and how likely it is to happen moving forward. I think he's got around a 68 million release clause, which will kick in next summer, which United can potentially trigger. And he's definitely one of those players who's ready for a step up, who has really, really strong technical ability as well, as he proved at Chelsea recently. So, look, this is a long-term rebuild of the squad that needs to happen. This is a long-term plan. And that United have got to make a lot of decisions which turn out working well. And the accumulation of all those decisions will end up in taking United back to where they should be. And whether that's with players that they sign, whether that's the atmosphere they create within the club, whether that is the manager that they pick, all of these players and the manager now are under pressure to deliver because the rebuild off the pitch has started and that will continue regardless of who this personnel is within the middle. It's how you contribute to that overall journey about whether you're part of that journey for the long term or not. So yeah, let me know guys what you think of today's episode. I've been rambling on for a little while now. Like I say, I'll work in the next few weeks to get an alternative voice on here, whether that's a rotational option. Hopefully people will be willing to join me to talk about things regarding United. And yeah, it's just a few things on my side I need to sort out first before I start taking things on to different levels, that kind of thing. But yeah, please follow me on the socials at @double_ScottSaunders on X, TikTok and Instagram as well. Please drop me a follow on Instagram if you've not done so already. Would really, really appreciate that. And subscribe to the show, The Promised Land, a Manchester United podcast on YouTube. Please like the stream, subscribe to the channel and leave a comment on anything I've talked about today. And subscribe on audio as well, Apple and Spotify too. And leave a 5-star review as well, if you wouldn't mind doing so. Until next time, everyone, we'll be back in the lead up to the Southampton game to talk about that and to talk about the things that have happened this week. And I'll see you soon. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Please leave a comment for me and get in touch on social media as well. And I'll see you next time, everyone, for another Promised Land podcast.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.